Hey, what's going on, Talamarks? Welcome back. Yes, welcome back to another episode of the Hear Me Out podcast. It's been a minute since we last recorded one. It's been about almost a year. But I decided to bring it back and reinvent the podcast. And what I mean by that is that we have new co-hosts here. Previously, we had a fellow staff writer, part of the spring 2023 semester, but Roger is no longer part of Talamark, so I hope he's doing well. But please, my new co-host, please introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Jonathan.
I'm Peyton.
And I'm Carl.
Yes, this is another episode of the Hear Me Out podcast. We're going to try to get episodes for you guys consistently. And let's just jump straight to it. We're going to start with the NFC Championship game because, you know, we have a 49er fan here.
Yes, sir.
Joshua, so I'm going to let him take the stage and let him give his thoughts on the game.
Firstly, did you just call me Joshua, dog?
Oh, you said, oh, my bad. I said Joshua. Jonathan.
All right. Go ahead. Nah, it's whatever. Let me say this. Firstly, this isn't our first episode. I mean, so we're recording together.
Yes, disclaimer, this is not the first episode. We have good chemistry, but the last episode kind of got fucked up because
some moron forgot to give us the transcript
went wrong, and yeah, but we're back. This is the first episode we're doing for this semester, so just a disclaimer. Go ahead.
All right,
yeah.
So, it was a really hard fight game. I legit never felt so many emotions in my life.
Oh, no, you were talking shiesty before we recorded.
Bro, yes,
come on,
man.
Now.
Like, my whole mental sanity was, like, on this game. And it's really, I think, on the Super Bowl, because I've been talking way too much shit now, man. So, like, I hope it aged well, but from the start, man, just the first half was just, man, I haven't seen them play like that since, like, the Ravens.
No, they played bad, man.
They were horrible first half. It was 27 to
24-7,
yeah. And we were just like, damn. The defense didn't click. I don't know what's going on offense. Moody, as usual, just missed his fucking first field goal. Make us feel hopeless. But somehow, bro, the second half, we just saw...
Just turned it on.
It just turned it on, man. Just, you know, Brock Purdy came in clutch. I know people are not going to give him his flowers no matter what. Which is so weird to me. It's weird to me. Like, you can't... I'm sorry, bro, but you can't... No, stop laughing, bro. No, like, I'm being for real. How are you going to be so... How are you going to be so invested into the Lions story, all right, about them being the underdogs, right? But Brock Purdy, who is an underdog in his own right, we're talking about a dude that was a third stringer not too, like, a year ago. Now it's like leading the Super Bowl, he's going to be starting in the Super Bowl. And now people are being like, I don't know, what's up with him? What's up with, like, the people? Just, you can't be a fan of the Lions story and just hate on Brock Purdy at the same time. They're both underdogs.
Hey, that's facts, though. But I'm going to be honest. Dan Campbell, I'm never going to hate on you for doing what you did, because you're going to do what you did that got you there, right? They've been aggressive. They've been a fourth down team. They have a great conversion percentage.
They were really
fourth
successful
down.
In that game on fourth down, too.
But the main problem is once you get to a certain point, you have to be willing to take points, and I think that's just a head coaching experience kind of thing. I think in the future he'll get better at it, and it's just one of those things where you got to hope the Lions get back, because there's a lot of teams that make that championship game that never recover.
I mean, to be fair, it's not. There's a lot of people blaming him. I mean, no. I mean, he was. I don't feel he should be blamed. I mean, understand at a certain point you should start taking those free points.
It's not his fault. C.J. Gardner-Johnson,
yeah.
CTE. Bro.
Yeah. The drop pass, just, I don't know. At a certain point, they just didn't. They just didn't click. The fourth downs wasn't working. He should be taking those points, but I don't feel he should take the big blame on those.
Yeah, honestly. When they were up 24-7, I knew the game wasn't over, just knowing, because I was thinking just the 49ers are too talented of a team to get blown out in the NFC Championship this big. By the Lions. I just knew deep inside. I was like, it's 24-7, but I just had a feeling that it was just going to turn into a game pretty quick, and obviously they ended up losing. Matter of fact, they were down by 10 at one point. Like, holy shit, you guys are just winning by 3 scores and you get down by 10?
Yeah, someone's got to answer for that.
But, like, I mean, I think you could say Dan Campbell, like, part of the reason why they lost. But, like, even his quote after the game, like, this could be our final chance at this. Like, bro, I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
But you can't say that shit.
Is that what you want to hear as a player after your coach kind of just gave the game away?
That last fourth down especially, too.
Yeah.
Like, they were down by 3, and they went for it. That was...
What we saw from Dan Campbell was a masterclass that Brandon Staley would put up. Like, literally, that's exactly what we saw. Brandon
Staley numbers.
Like, Brandon Staley, that's the type of shit that he would do. And the fact that Dan Campbell, who is a highly praised coach, did some stupid shit like that. Like, yeah. I mean, again, it's not all on him. You know, there were some drop passes that could have been caught. But, yeah. I mean, overall, I mean, the Niners did what they needed to do. I feel like.
Everyone bought in. I mean, Brock Purdy. I mean, I'm not going to talk crazy right now, bro, but he was pretty good under pressure and the blitz.
Vanilla Vic, he was running his legs, man.
And he was running, too. He gained a lot of yards, too. Got us in the positions that we needed to be. And, hey, now he's the third youngest quarterback to lead a Super Bowl team.
But on to someone that's been to the Super Bowl hella times, though.
Wait, hold on. What do you got to say about the game, though, Carl? I know you said you were out working, but what happened? What do you think?
For me, as I was checking on the score, 24-7, I told myself, man, it's not over. Like, San Francisco, like, bro, to me, besides the Ravens, they're, like, the most complete team.
Yeah.
So I figured, like, nah, this game is not over. And for me, my thoughts, Brock Purdy, I got to give him respect. I honestly think he's playing, like, a top five, top, like, at the least, top ten. But for me, he deserves his credit because yeah, you could say, oh, he has these weapons around him. You could say the same thing about Mahomes, though, in that Super Bowl when he had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce on the same team. Right?
Don't forget, the Eagles have a pretty stacked team, too.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts can do shit with that.
Yeah.
Jalen mid.
Brock Purdy's, like, way more than just a game manager. He's, like, a really good quarterback in this league, and he deserves his flowers. As a Packers fan, I'll give him the respect that he deserves.
Well, now we're
going to move on to a quarterback that's doing it every single year. He's turning to the Michael Jordan of the NFL right now, and that's obviously Patrick Mahomes. The Kansas City are going back to the Super Bowl again. And, you know, I'm a Raiders fan, so now it's coming down to Jonathan made a great point. He was like, how do you feel knowing that two of your biggest rivals are going to be playing for a Super Bowl in your own stadium? And my thoughts on that is
the team that doesn't have Taylor Swift.
Exactly. And the team that doesn't have Mahomes, because I'm a Raiders fan, and I just can't stand Kansas City. I mean, I say this every year, but at the end of the day, they always sweep us, or we beat them once, but I mean, after Mahomes was just, after that first drive, I just knew that it was over from there. Mahomes was just making the most ridiculous throws I've ever seen in my life, where he was literally wrapped on sack and he just throws it and Kelce dives and catches it. I'm like, bro, this shit's over. It's over. But I think I see a lot of people trying to blame the defense, but I think people are not giving enough, like, they're not putting enough on Lamar because the defense shut him out the whole second half. What was Lamar doing the whole time? I mean, I get the fumble at the 1 yard line,
but you can't forget the pick on triple coverage.
Exactly, that too.
I mean, even if your tight end puts his hand up and says he's open, you're the quarterback.
Read it.
You got to throw the ball. And to speak on the Ravens, I got some shit to say about Todd Boykin because he gets on my nerves, bro. He has blood on his hands. I'm gonna give y'all a stat real quick. I want y'all to listen to this. The Ravens have the number one rushing attack in the National Football League, and the Chiefs have the 19th run defense. They gave the ball to a running back on first and second down 3 times the whole game. You're the best rushing attack in the league. You give Gus Edwards the ball 3 fucking times. You're out here scheming up inside fade shots that Lamar keeps overthrowing. He hasn't hit the shit 1 time. And yet no one on the sideline has said, hey, Lamar, take a little bit off. Nah, they just gonna let him throw that thing 15 yards in front of OBJ. Same route, same side, same release. But you ran it with Bateman, Aguilar, and Beckham, and none of them could catch that shit. I mean, like, bro, what are you doing? Like, Todd Boykin, lock in.
And they got Dalvin Cook, too?
Yeah, they got Dalvin Cook. And I think we need to start having a real conversation about John Harbaugh, because
what has
he done since he won the Super Bowl in 2012?
Congratulations, you have an all-pro defense that got you to the conference championship. Lock in.
Like, he has, like, John Harbaugh as a coach, like, he's highly praised, but, I mean, other than going to the playoff, getting knocked out wild card, divisional round, what has John Harbaugh done to prove that he's, like, all, he's kind of, I mean, that might sound crazy, but he's reminded me a lot of, like, Mike Tomlin, who gets a lot of praise, but other than winning a Super Bowl one time, what has he done?
Don't get me wrong, winning records are great, but winning records don't mean shit without rings.
Exactly, like, yeah,
you
know, same
way.
Any
playoff success with your winning records, man.
I mean,
we have a lot of those, man. We have a lot of it hurts, bro. Especially like in the last 5 seasons when we were. This is our 4th NFC Championship in the last 5. It doesn't mean, like, those winning records don't mean anything, man. Like, especially when we lost to the Rams, that streak just didn't We continue owning them afterwards, but it just doesn't feel the same.
You have to finish in the playoffs. It doesn't matter how good of a head coach you are in the regular season.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Dan Campbell. He's a great regular season coach because when you go for fourth down in the regular season, you get to play next week. You don't get to play next week in the playoffs.
Yeah, I feel like there's a difference between being aggressive and being too aggressive.
Yeah, yeah, there's a difference between being a good regular season team and postseason.
That's like the two games. Dan Campbell came really very aggressive.
Yeah.
The Ravens came off really... Not really.
Just lackluster.
Yeah, really lackluster.
It never felt like they played 100%, except for Kyle Hamilton, because he was all over the field.
Especially the Super Bowl on the line. Like, come on, man. You got to know something.
At home, too.
Exactly.
At home.
Exactly.
So, as the 49er fan, you're going against Kansas City again when... Last time you guys played them, they were up by, like, what, 10 with, like, 6 minutes
left?
They were
up by 10, and they
scored
21 in the fourth fucking quarter.
So... What do you think there's gonna be a different outcome this time? Like, obviously you want that, but
we have a quarterback that's not too scared to fucking throw. All right.
Mm.
When Garoppolo was here's a stat. All right. I was reading this out. Right. So
yeah, we get stats over here.
So Jimmy G, last time we made the Super Bowl, right? His total stats between the divisional and conference game against the Packers and the Vikings, right? He only attempted 27 throws.
Raheem Mostert carried him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of rushing, we attempted, aside like from QB rushes, 79 attempts on rushing those two games that converted to 472 yards.
Insane.
You compare this to Brock Purdy, they have the same completion, similar. Garoppolo's is slightly better by 1%, but he's 63. But Brock Purdy is throwing a lot more. And
he's just better.
Yeah,
he's hitting guys down the field.
Yeah, so what would win this game? What would win us this game is getting the yaks. We're known for yards after catch, you know.
Yeah.
And they have open field tackling. They need a. I think Kansas City. I mean,
this game is the battle of Steve Spagnuolo versus Brock Purdy. Because Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs, he's the guy that stopped the undefeated Patriots. He was the Giants' defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So I think Purdy's young, and I think he's going to try and bring a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And if that pressure doesn't get through, a yak team like the 49ers, if you let them dink and duck, they're going to dink and duck their way to a Super Bowl.
And like you mentioned earlier, you said like the Chiefs are what, like the 16th ranked?
Rushing defense?
Yeah,
they have to get to Brock Purdy to win the game. That is their key.
Remember, I feel rushing. I mean, the fact that they're not really that good of a rushing defense, and you have Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, and even Brock Purdy sometimes I can continue gaining those yards as well, those clutch yards.
And Elijah Mitchell, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that Garoppolo couldn't do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the difference between a good quarterback and a game manager.
Yeah.
Garoppolo, for me, was not a good quarterback.
Yeah.
He's a game manager.
I think Purdy can be a game manager, but the thing that makes him not a game manager is that when he needs to, he can make plays with his arm and his legs.
Packers, the Packers game when he was playing completely ass the entire time, but when he mattered, he got into the field position for the handoff and scored the touchdown.
That game winning drive,
and you have this game right here, fucking 24-7 in the first half, and outscored them 27 to, was it 7?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
20, yeah.
If they can play from behind with him, it'll be a damn good team.
I mean, Brock Purdy's not scared of the pressure. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the difference for me between him and Garoppolo. I mean, Garoppolo, honestly, under pressure.
He folds under pressure.
He's ass, respectfully. Ass.
You can't say respectfully calling someone ass. but that's real. I mean, Brock Purdy, I mean, last two games we've seen, especially the last game, man, he wasn't scared of pressure. He got tackled at one point, and he still completed the pass to Deebo.
I saw that. I know what you're talking about.
Just like, he's good at the pressure and the blitz, you know? Like, he's...
It's all about defense.
It's all about this defense, man.
And speaking of defense... 70-point games in the NBA.
It's not happening in the NBA. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Recently, there's been a lot of 70-point games in the NBA. The most recent one was Luka Doncic, which I'm not surprised. I mean, Luka Doncic.
Yeah. Luka's gonna get buckets.
To me, he's the. I mean,
you know, he's fourth all time in most points in a game now.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
But to me, I mean, people come crazy, but I think Luka Doncic is. He's already the best player in the league. I don't care what anybody says. People say Nikola Jokic. People say Joel Embiid. No, it's Luka, bro. I'm sorry, I hate to say it to you, but it's Luka Doncic.
Luka is the nicest to watch.
And,
I think.
But anyways, I believe Joel Embiid scored 70.
Like not
last a couple weeks, like I think last week, a couple weeks ago, and then also Karl Anthony Towns almost scored 70.
He had like 60. Yeah, 60. And he got benched.
Yeah, he got benched in the fourth. So look, I guess the question is, like, do you think it's just the players are getting better, or just like a lack of defense from from in the league that right now.
I think, like, undoubtedly, the last generation of athletes is never going to be as good as the new generation of guys. So, of course, these dudes are better scorers.
Yeah.
But, like, I definitely think, I'm not saying it's, like, 100%, it's all the hand-checking rule. But, like, there's a lack of physicality in certain defenders. And I also feel like a lot of it is the refs. Like, you see OG Anunoby wrap his arms around dudes and they don't get any calls. But then you see guys blow air on some dudes and it's like a flagrant. Like, how can you play hard-nosed, aggressive defense when you don't know what ref you're going to get or what rep you have in the league?
That's kind of been happening with, like, you could say, like, the foul issues, like, something that's been happening a lot with LeBron this season.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, there's literally a picture of someone literally having a claw mark on his whole ass shoulder and he didn't get a call. Like, what? So, yeah, I just think, I think defense have been getting worse lately because
I think
now it's just like, I think if you look at it, the best defense in the league, they allow 105 points a game.
And that would be what, like, probably middle of the pack in the 2000s?
In, like, 2000s, like, in the 2000s, like, yeah, it was like, when I remember when I was growing up watching basketball, like, in, you know, late 2000s, early 2010s, it was always like, halftime score was always like 45-50.
Yeah.
Now it's like 70-60. It's like doubled everything. So I think it's a lack of defense, but also just these players are getting better and better every single year. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a player that can do what Luka does since, like, LeBron. So, like,
yeah.
And so it's just a mix of both. Like, players are just getting better and defense is just not as good as it once was. Mainly because, like you said, officiating players don't know what they can or can do because of, like, how the officiating can be. I feel
like some players might be scared to, like, mm-hmm. commit a foul.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think for sure the game has changed, in my opinion. Honestly, the defense, I think it's a bit of both, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Guys are scoring, like, 50, like, nothing now. So, I mean, honestly, like, their officiating does have a factor. It's a factor.
I mean, PJ Tucker dropping 50, what happened to the game I love? Like, bro.
And also, like, I just, this is, like, going, continuing on with the NBA real quick. I think we need to shine appreciation on, like, what we saw on Saturday. I don't know if you guys saw, but it was the Golden State Warriors and the Lakers playing.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw two all-time greats going at it with Curry and LeBron. Like I think
double
people,
overtime.
I think people just need to shine more appreciation on that because we're not going to see that often again.
Like,
LeBron, 36 points, 20 rebounds, and
12 assists,
and he's in his, like, 39 years old.
Like,
Curry scored 46. Like, we just need to just appreciate them while they're here because when they're gone, the league is not going to be the same, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I don't think people understand. LeBron's been around for, like, our whole life.
Exactly.
Like, I don't think people really understand the sheer impact it's going to have when he retires one day.
Okay. Exactly. Yeah. But now, we're going to jump ship to the UFC 300, I guess, card predictions you guys wanted to talk about.
Also.
Yeah, for the UFC, there has been some talks about some weight division shifting, and that includes 165 and 175. It's looking like the UFC would like to have a 10-pound difference between all of their weight classes. And it looks like most of this is stemming from Conor McGregor and the Michael Chandler fight.
So, Michael Chandler, Conor McGregor, looks like they're trying to fight in UFC 300, but we all know how Conor McGregor is. I think it's going to be much later. But if they were going to fight in UFC 300, there's been rumors that they'll get a 165 division. And if there's a fighter that they'll do that for, it's definitely Conor McGregor. Now, this is an interesting topic because we've been, like, as fans, I think we've been talking about 165 division for a long while, you know, especially on the gap between 155 to 170. There are so many fighters at 155 that are draining themselves, but if they go up to 170, they'll get completely
mauled.
Get raw dug. Like, yeah. Kevin Lee, that's a...
Kevin Lee is, like, the prototypical 165 guy.
Yeah. And you get, like, fighters at welterweight, such as Gilbert Burns, that's just...
He's too...
If you see the fight with him and Khamzat, it's a very big... To be fair, Khamzat was a very big welterweight, but you do see, like, the big size difference between those two.
And I feel like it'll benefit for guys like Colby Covington, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Colby Covington used to wrestle at 165 during college, so...
And then guys like Dustin Poirier can go 165.
It'll be good for weight cutting, too. Yeah. I think you want to get rid of weight cutting, you want to make it as safe as possible, you got to make the weights closer.
Yeah.
Dudes are, like... What, Dustin Poirier weighs, like, what, 190?
Yeah, Michael Chandler walks around at, like, 180, and he fights at 155.
Yeah,
like
that's wild.
Yeah, and there's fighters like Islam. I mean, he's a very big dude. He's a very big lightweight that I see him.
Bro, like, honestly, do you think weight cutting is a form of cheating?
Man, I don't think so.
Because everyone's doing it, no. And if you can make the weight, then I guess you're not really a weight bully. You know what I mean?
I feel there's a lot of fighters. You look at, like, Alex Pereira. He's,
bro.
like... when his last fight, 185, where he was like weighing 220.
Like when he walked in the octagon? Like,
how did he make 185?
Yeah, bro? And that's, I feel it wild. Does affect your chin a lot. I believe it does affect it. Because yeah. We've seen like what happened afterwards, right? Izzy doesn't really have that big, scary knockout power, but I feel the weight cut has a big issue. It also affects gas tanks and all. We're going to see it with the Holly Holm and Harrison fight. Mm-hmm.
That Harrison, bro, they're gonna kill Kayla Harrison.
Yes, we'll see. No bullshit. You know? So,
they got
aside from 165, it also, if they're really thinking about having that, they should be also open more weight classes. 165, that was a good one.
175?
Yeah, put 175, so it's a 10.
195?
195, that's, I feel...
That's the
how
one...
How many fighters would
that's
go
the
down
in-between.
From light heavyweight, and how many fighters from middleweight would go behind, go in there?
I could see, like...
Paulo Costa, I feel he's one of
Paulo
those.
Paulo Costa would fight at 195.
Honestly, I feel like it's more middleweights will move up
than
205ers moving down.
I could see Paul Craig going from middleweight to 195.
I see that.
Yeah. Like,
because honestly, Paul Craig, like,
he's
he
doesn't have the physicality to be a light heavyweight. I mean, he got beat up, or he didn't get beat up, but he got messed up in his last fight. I mean, he beat Andre Munoz, but like, that was it.
Brandon Allen, bro, fucked him up big time. And,
yeah,
like, honestly,
Brandon Allen.
Yeah, I feel there should be a cruiserweight 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about the big difference between 155 to 170 and 170 to 185 and 185 to 205, right? But between light heavyweight and heavyweight, that is a very big.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's been a handful of fighters that.
That's right where Jelton Almeida.
Jelton Almeida is like one. He came in his last fight like two.
He's like 230 something.
Two, yeah, and that's pretty small. I feel you should have.
Like a 215.
215, 225. If it was that, it. I feel it should be that big of a gap between those two. Because you're testing your, you're pretty much dipping your toes.
Right, you're a heavyweight.
Yeah, to the heavyweight.
His next fight is Curtis Blaze. He's always like 265.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a big guy.
Yeah, yeah. There's fighters in heavyweight that will cut down. And
oh yeah, he's one of those guys. I'm
yeah,
sure. 100%.
Yeah, 100%. So a cruiserweight 100% will benefit a lot of fighters. It will benefit like Alex Pereira that cuts a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it just make the sport.
Maybe Jelton Almeida will go down there too. But yeah, I feel a lot of weight classes should be added.
So now we're going to transition to real quick. Now we're going to start talking about the merger partner with the UFC, and that's the WWE. So recently there's been actual like real breaking. This is serious news, by the way. This is real serious, though. And just a disclaimer, these are all allegations, so we're not confirming anything that this happened. So just that's just a real quick disclaimer. But recently there's been controversy with Vince McMahon, who has been in a pretty fucked up situation. He's been accused, I believe sued, right?
Mm-hmm.
For sex trafficking and sexual assault, mm-hmm. And tons of disgusting things have been going on.
I mean, stuff you can't even talk about.
Yeah, and recently with that, with those allegations coming out and with the lawsuit coming out, he did resign his position at the chairman of the board with the WWE. Not only that, but with the TKL merger that he has with the UFC. So obviously him coming back to the WWE is not very likely, but what do you guys reaction on, like, this, you know,
I feel him stepping down does kind of like make it look kind of weird.
That's a bad look.
It's pretty obvious.
It's a bad look, and so
I mean, yeah, look, Vince McMahon, you if you watched old WWE, you always knew that he was. There's nothing we could prove, and everything is still, of course, alleged. But if you watch old WWE, he's always been on that line, and he's always done things that have been uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's not something that particularly shocks me, but the fact that it's taken this long for somebody to find something, because God knows how long this is going on. He's been the head of the WWE since it started. I mean, that's what, two decades of this, potentially?
This could be a lot of people, man.
Yeah.
You could look into hundreds, maybe, like...
This could be some serious stuff.
And there's even more coming out that, like, potentially that Brock Lesnar is also a part of this whole situation, too.
No, really?
Yeah, they're saying that... he was involved with like this this assault allegation that's been going on. So it's like, cause they were saying that it was a former UFC champion, and he's the only former UFC champion that has been a part of WWE. So it's like crazy to think about. And you know, when I think about it, I grew up watching WWE. Every now and then I still check on it because, you know, it's worldwide. Everybody knows about it. But again, it's not surprising, like, to hear like these type of news come out about Vince McMahon, because like he said previously, if you watch WWE like in the early 2000s and like the late 90s, the Attitude Era, you know the type of shit that Vince McMahon was on, that weird shit. But, you know, it just makes me feel for, like, you know, not just, like, the lady that was involved, you know, but also, like, how can, what do you think, like, the talent is feeling in the locker room? Like, holy shit, like, we're being led by this fucking apparent weirdo, you know? And just, I just feel for, like, you know, the person that was involved and just, you know, everything, this whole situation just messed up. And, you know, again, allegations, these aren't true. Nothing's proven to be true yet, but, again, it was just something that we wanted to talk about and just, you know, leave a little comment on. But
now it's like, who's gonna lead the WWE now?
I mean, I think you just put whoever can do it and you hope that the product retains its quality.
Yeah,
that's all you can do.
Yeah, well, that's gonna do it for this episode, guys. We hope you guys enjoyed it. Our next episode will most likely be on the Super Bowl, so please, you know, keep an eye on for that one. I know Jonathan's gonna have a lot to say about that, so again, that'll be it for, and thank you for guys listening, and we'll see you guys soon.